Praise God. Good morning, beautiful people. Friends, we have been in a series called the Stewardship Series of celebrating the connectional ministries of our church. And we started this series with Deal or No Deal. And last week we had a speaker who challenged us to move forward. Of all the places we are connected, my best friend, Mike Huber, we share many secrets, will come shortly and deliver for us a message on making a difference, transforming lives. I want to thank Mike for taking the opportunity from a very busy schedule of work, 6 centers of camp and retreat ministries around this beautiful conference, vast conference of ours. And he will come and share in this great fellowship of believers shortly after the reading of the scripture passage for today, found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning. It is indeed a pleasure to be here. Any of you have a friend that you can just be you with? Anybody? A friend you can argue with? And they love you anyway. You can disagree with and they love you anyway. Well, that's my friend Daryl. We've journeyed together for a number of years now. I'm trying to think when we first met would have been, 10 years now. We can be each other in each other's presence and be different than one another and still know that the Christ in me appreciates the Christ in Daryl. And it's been a beautiful journey in that way. So thank you, Daryl, for the invitation. Thanks for the hospitality of you and Pauline and Emily last night. It was good to be here. The genuine welcome this morning has also been very appreciated. Thank you. I have a confession to make right off the beginning here. I've been in Buffalo many, many times, but I've not made it to this church. I typically worship with about 60,000 other people in this giant cathedral that is open air. Are you with me? Okay, and some people paint their faces. Some people have cardboard cutouts of guitars or wear chef hats. I'm a baptized, infant-grown United Methodist, but I'm also a second-generation, born and bred Buffalo Bill. So it's good to be in Buffalo. I was telling Daryl, it gets hot in this sanctuary. He told me he was going to have to mention the Bills and become a Bills fan. I said, well, I'll teach you what a real Bills fan does. So let me work around this, but so let's make sure I know what Kelly Tuff is, okay, buddy? So if you
If you don't mind, I'll just leave. Maybe some positive spirits will travel to London on our behalf. And those of you,
it could help, right? If you could flash me scores from back there, that'd be good. No, please don't tell me. I can't take it. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. I come on behalf of the Connectional Ministry staff team of our conference. I oversee the 6 camp and retreat centers. I have 2 children in my home, Ethan and Sydney. Sydney is almost 9 next week, going on 19. Ethan is 11. I love them more than I can explain to you. You have children, right? You know, Pauline, you can't explain how much you love Emily. There aren't words. They're very different children. Sydney is my creative wonder. She is all girl in that she wants her dresses on and her nails done and her high heels, but in the mud up a tree. Okay, the dirtier the better while she's looking gorgeous. My son is shy. He's the sensitive one, more of the introvert. Sydney would be right here with me now and would read a scripture to all of you strangers. They're very different. I treat them differently because they're different people. Now, I wanted you to get to know a little bit about me, but I share it because you have 6 camps in this conference at this time. And I've been teaching people as I travel around the state that think of them like your children. They're different. They're not equal. Oftentimes Sydney, learns what a consequence is. You with me? Cause and effect. You did this, and that meant this. When mommy said, don't touch that, it's hot, it meant you might burn yourself when you touch that and it's hot. Sometimes one of them needs medicine when the other doesn't. You with me? I give them both opportunities to eat. I clothe them both. We give them experiences, but they're different. And your camp and retreat centers are very different. There's 6 kids. Now, I'm well aware that we are 4 former conferences, and it depends how far back you go, right? I mean, it's more than that at one point. But most recently, we are 4 former conferences that have united to create this new thing we call Upper New York. In my former conference, we had 2 camps, Cassawasco and Aldersgate. I grew up going to Aldersgate all the way from Corning, New York. But you know where Corning, New York is? It's in the backyard of Watson Homestead, which used to be a Western Conference camp. I learned to swim at Watson Homestead. I rode a horse for the first time at Watson Homestead. The camps are very different, and we now have 6 of them. And they are critically important for the transformation of not only just our churches, but the world. Because when we grow transformed people and send them out into the world in the name of Jesus, the world is different. Amen? You know that to be true. Well, where do you learn that? Well, you learn it in places like Sunday school. You learn that here in worship. You learn it in your homes. But what a great learning lab to experience it in the camp and retreat settings. Now, I brought a couple of things. You saw my backpack already, but I also brought a banner. If you don't mind, I'm going to run up there and get it just for a moment. You may still hear me here. I know you're not going to be able to read all the words from that far back, but I'm going to share some information off of this for you. It's a sobering banner, and it's called The Power of Camp. It's a campaign that the Christian Camp and Conference Association has put out for us, but I'd like you to consider for a minute the power of your giving. Notice I'm looking at your stewardship chair that I met this morning. The power of your giving. One area of what the power of your giving does. I'm just going to share some things with you, and I want you to know up front, this is about 4 years old. So the statistics and the information I'm going to share with you, I got this banner and these posters about 4 years ago. Okay, so you take that for what you will here in a moment when I share. But let me share some stuff with you. The average American child, I admit this is U.S.-centric, U.S. statistics, the average American child spends 270 minutes watching television, 82 minutes on the phone, 27 minutes on a computer, 80 minutes playing games every single day. Now, where's my young adults? Do we have any young adults in the room? Well, stewardship chair almost. I see some young people over that way. Now, the young people in the room are going, what is he talking about? I can do all of that on one device now. Right? You know this is an older statistic. It's only 4 years old because all of that is done on one handheld device now. Watch your TV, play your games, get your email, talk on the phone. It's all right there. One device. Kids 8 to 18 spend 7.5 hours a day on electronic media. 4 years ago. I have a feeling that's gone up. Well, or down, depending on how you look at that. That's nearly 2,712 hours or 113 days every year. You know how many days in the year there are, right? 113 days every year on this form of media. Now, I said in the earlier service, I'm not saying bad technology. Technology's bad. I'm not saying that. And I'll come around in a moment to why I think technology's not bad. But this is a reality now. Now move to a pretty sobering area, health and wellness. 5.4 million youth ages 4 to 17 are diagnosed with ADHD. That's 4 years ago. 5.4 million youth between the age of 4 and 17 were diagnosed with ADHD. Now I told Daryl, I have ADOS. I'm sure if they actually made that a medical term, I'd be diagnosed with ADOS. Attention deficit, ooh, shiny. You know what I'm saying? Yep. 215,000 youth under 20 have diabetes. 200 fast food commercials air during Saturday morning cartoons. Hear that? 200 fast food commercials air during Saturday morning cartoons. Wonder why they chose that slot. Right? 4 minutes a day are spent outside playing. As an outdoor camp guy, that one terrifies me. 16% of 6 to 19-year-olds are classified as obese. 33% of teens get enough exercise. That was said in a positive way. You know the negative side of that. That means over 70% don't get enough exercise. Move into the home and church. Here's why we're here. Families headed by single moms in the United States 4 years ago. 7.5 million single moms heading homes. 2 million single dads 4 years ago. The average U.S. child spends 3.5 minutes in meaningful conversation with their parents every week. 3.5 minutes in a week of meaningful conversation. Not pick up your clothes. Is your lunch packed? Come on, we're gonna be late. I don't mean that conversation. I mean, how are you today, Emily? Tell me about your day. Open-ended conversations, actual meaningful dialogue. Now, friends, I confess again, second confession, I don't know this church well. I'm having fun getting to know it, but I don't know it well. So this may not be you. You have to find your place in these next two statistics for you, for your family, but your church family. But in general, the statistics show that only 15% of the average church budget is carved out for youth programs. Now, in my traveling from church to church to church, I have sobering news for you. I think that's high. And again, I don't know your church, and I'm not judging it. But I think 15% is a bit high from what I'm experiencing. Youth programming seems to be a tiny little sliver. I have to pause here and offer myself transparently to you. There is a phrase that I've heard most of my life that I would like us to ban from the church. Could vote on this today and I'd be happy. If you could control it across the church denomination, it'd be great. Children are the future of our church. You heard that, Jim? Children are the future of our church, right? I say shame on us. They're our church right now. And if we don't change our paradigm and think about them as being here now, they definitely won't be in the future. So I understand the intent of that phrase. I've heard it. I've used it, sadly, years ago. I know it meant well, but the phrase means tomorrow. We'll deal with it later. What I'm thinking is, if we don't deal with it now, there's not going to be a tomorrow. Who's going to replace you in these pews if we don't deal with it now? Only 24% of church leaders surveyed view youth ministry as a priority nationally. Now, I'm going to pick this one up just so you see where it transitions here. The power of camp. Now, again, the power of your giving. What's the power of your money that you pool together? Well, at camp, you take high adventure. You combine that with caring adult role models and the beauty of natural outdoor setting and time to think without distractions. And all of that together creates the chance to be known and loved. To be known and loved. Listen, folks, if they're only spending 3.5 minutes a week in meaningful conversation with the people who love them most, what an opportunity to have them come together as sisters and brothers in a place like a camp setting or a retreat setting and learn that they are known and loved. We have a phrase at two of the camps that is spreading across to all of them now. At the end of the week, Daryl's heard this bazillion times. At the end of the week, I hope your children that come to one of our camps knows, well, three things, but one thing, ready? Divided in three parts. There is a God. God loves you, and God wants a relationship with you. Now you're already thinking, yeah, what about? If they can come to our camp centers and by the end of the week know that there's a God, and everybody there, all those caring adults know there's a God, a creator of all of it, and that they are loved, who they are is loved, and that God wants a continuing, ongoing relationship with them, we will have succeeded. Amen? Now, they form lifelong friendships with positive peer pressure. Friends, how many times have you heard the phrase, peer pressure is bad? Bad peer pressure. Peer pressure isn't bad. Bad peer pressure is bad. Good peer pressure is good. It's kept me out of a whole lot of issues. I try it on Daryl now and then. Right? And he on me. Peer pressure is good. Send them to places where there's positive peer pressure. And that's how we learn and stay out of the areas that are bad for us. Camp or a retreat center is a temporary community where safe risks can be taken and important questions can be asked. Friends, I think that many of our families think if they could bubble wrap their kids and send them out the door in the morning, that that would be best. And I confess there's times when I think that with my children. That's not what God intends. God wants us to live and be in community with each other. And sometimes things happen to us. We get nicks and scratches and our heart hurts from time to time because we're not nice to each other from time to time. Well, in a camp setting, kids learn all that in a safe place. And they take safe risks. You all learn that here in this church as you do life together within this building and in this community. Your kids are also getting a chance to do it at retreat centers. Now, remember the statistics up here? Pretty sobering stuff. In a week of camp, it's 10,080 minutes, a week's worth of moments away from the normal pressure of life to decompress, believe, and dream. You have kids in your Christian education department. I don't like to say the word Sunday school. Sorry, the phrase Sunday school. I'm trying to get around that. But how many kids want to get up on Sunday and go to school? So we call it Sunday school, right? That was a smart idea. Why did we ever decide that? And I get it. I don't want to offend all the Sunday school folks because I'm a Sunday school believer. I just think the phrase may be hurting us now with kids. Did you get them in that window, which is what, 45, 50 minutes a week maybe? And then they go home. You have an opportunity with your shared dollars that you pool together to give them 10,080 minutes in a row with caring, loving role models in the beauty of outdoors where they can take safe risks and learn that there's a mighty God that loves them very much. And then we send them back to you all and out into the world, transformed from the inside out. You know, when I train my staffs, a lot of times I'll take a stick that's about the thickness of my thumb, and I'll give it to one of the younger kids, and I'll say, can you break this stick? And they snap it right away. And I'll say, here, take two or three more. Can you break that? Oh, yeah, snap. They snap the stick, right? And then I grab about 12 or 15 of these sticks. They're only about this long, but about as thick as my thumb. You know what happens? Have you ever seen that? It's very hard to break 12 sticks together in a picture, a bundle of sticks right there about the thickness of my thumb. You can't break it because we're stronger together than we are apart. Each one of you is a stick. Together, you're a community. Can't break that as easily as you can break an individual. Now, your shared dollars that you pool together, your hard-earned resources, by that I mean your time, your gifts of talents and skills, and your hard-earned money, pooled together, does amazing things. At some point, it built this beautiful room and bought those very expensive chandeliers. That's not a crack. That's a, you know what you've done here. You have a beautiful facility. Shared pooling of resources and stewardship, had a vision and built this, moved from there to here, grew. I understand, started over in the parsonage, moved over and built this. And then you go to Uganda and you transform Uganda in a community. You also do that through your shared ministry in the conference that does an amazing amount of work. Whether you've sent a kid to any of our camps recently, your shared dollars are making that experience available for over 2,800 kids just this past summer. And another 12,000 people throughout the year that go to our retreats. It matters and it's important. Whether you can give a dollar or $100,000, it matters. And it is put to good use. We are always looking for prayer partners. If it's an area that's touched a part of your heart today, please consider praying for the area of Camp and Retreat Ministries. It's getting harder and harder to sustain the infrastructure we have at so many sites. You can imagine, just off the top of my head, the one site I'm in charge of has 25 different buildings, 3 different lakefronts, 6 or 7 different vehicles. It's a lot of infrastructure. And churches are not able to send the kind of kids or people and participants. When I went to Corning first, the men went on a retreat, the women went on a retreat, there was a family retreat, the leadership team went on a retreat, the youth group went on a winter retreat and a spring retreat, and everybody went to camp. You just did. They don't have a youth group anymore. I think they've closed their Sunday school program in Corning, and they can't do it anymore. So the sites are struggling financially, but churches combined together, giving to your shared resources of what you choose to do as priorities for mission and ministry in this community, does matter and it helps. So please, folks, prayerfully consider where you can give within that. We all can give something, but it has to be what you're inspired to give. Now, I've asked Daryl to close this with me. I absolutely love Eugene Peterson's translation of this scripture. So in closing, we're going to read the scripture to you again. We're just going to take turns. I want you to hear how Eugene Peterson makes this scripture that Daryl read earlier so available to us, especially in context of what kids do at camp when we live together in community for a week. And I'll point out, in the original scripture he read, which was what translation?
New Revised.
New Revised. There's a really important word right at the beginning. You might not remember it, but it's therefore. Paul has just spent 11 chapters telling us stuff. And then the beginning of chapter 12, he says, so, now here's the so what? Therefore, which seems like an action word to me. So Eugene Peterson says it this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, around the s'mores fire, at the dining room table, cleaning up the table, making crafts, all your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God.
In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of God's body. But as a chopped-off finger or cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously and pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't.
Preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, don't manipulate. If you call to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face.
Thank you for reading that. There are three things that jump right off the page for me that I'll share in closing thoughts. We are changed from the inside out. I can change into a Jim Kelly jersey proudly, but it doesn't change my heart. It changes my mood. I have to change. Meaningful change with God is from the inside out. The second whole section, the phrase that jumps out at me is, I have responsibilities in relation to you. I'm not a free agent over here. I'm not a lone wolf. Okay, Buffalo Bills fans, how often do we realize every single year that it all depends on the offensive line? You don't have an offensive line, the quarterback's not going to do so well. The running back can't run very far. We are in relationship to one another. And in God's great body of many gifts, many parts, I can't function wholly without you, and you can't function wholly without me. Each of us finds our meaning in that relationship to the body. And then the last thing that jumps out at me is the very last sentence Daryl read. Keep a smile on your face. God did not say it was supposed to be easy. The Lord knows life is not all that easy. But we're the chosen children. We're God's children. And we're walking around as though we've lost already. Sorry about the Buffalo Bills metaphor there. I apologize. But you know, one of the reasons we loved good old Coach Rex at the beginning was all the optimism and hope and smile and jovialness. Brings a new vision. Well, God sent the best coach of all to walk amongst us, Jesus. And Jesus said, just follow me, I'll do this. I need your help. You're the hands and feet, but just follow me on this journey. Drop your nets and come with me. And so, thank you, friends, for what you do in this community, what you do in this church, how you support one another. Your giving matters, and I know it's hard, but thank you. Will you pray with me? Loving God, thanks for these words you put on my heart. May they be pleasing to you. If there's something I've said, Lord, that is in the way of what your work is, you know, Lord, move it out of the way. Each person here is on a journey with you and in relationship with you. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to move in their hearts, and whatever they can give in honor and glory to you, Lord, I ask that they are richly blessed tenfold. And bless this church family, Lord. May it grow and be nourished in your beautiful design. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come with me. We have some young people who are going to help us this morning on this Commitment Sunday. Some of you may have brought commitment cards or sent them through the mail, but in a minute, these young people are going to come among us for you to offer your commitment cards. You guys want to stand on over on the sides? Oh, okay. All the way up. There you go. If you, it is Commitment Sunday, and we've already heard about the body of Christ that Paul talks about. A body, many parts, every part with a function, all of those functions necessary to keep the body living well. We need every part. Got a headache? The whole body wants to shut down. Have a scratchy throat like I have this morning? The whole body yields to the sore throat. We all work together as one. It reminded me of that song, The Hokey Pokey, you know? You put your right hand in, and you put your left hand in, and you go through all the body parts, and you turn yourself about, and that's what it's all about. And you get to the last verse, and you put your whole self in. 20 years ago, almost, you invited me to be a part of the leadership team of this church. But the truth is, I chose you first. Because almost 22 years ago, Jim and I and our family moved to Snyder, and we came to Christ Church, and we found here a place to deepen in our faith and to discover and use our gifts, a place to invest ourselves, our lives. And in you, we found loving and supportive people to work alongside in making a difference. So today, on this Commitment Sunday, my commitment card says, I put my whole self in. I still choose you. And that's what it's all about. I invite you to offer yourself and your gifts to God. Okay?